you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of the Carson Anderson radio program. Scott the Gator Anderson, how are you today?
I'm all right, Doug.
That's good. That's not believable. You didn't sell it. What's wrong?
I didn't sleep well last night.
You didn't?
No.
What happened?
Well, I'd say the dog got up at 5:20.
Okay.
Wanted to go out at 5:20.
Okay.
After we had gone to bed at like midnight. I'm like, this is not, no, I don't want, no. I tried to put it off, and then she got way too insistent. And I'm like, fine. So I took her outside and took her out to the front yard. I had to make a business trip in the front yard rather than let her run around the back.
Why's that?
Funny you should ask, Doug. Because last night at around 11:45, get ready to winding up on the TV and stuff, and the dog was outside, and then I heard the dog make a few kind of loud barks. And I was like, what are you barking at? And eventually I went outside, and she was standing over another exposed rabbit hole.
No way. Another one?
She did it again.
So wait a sec. The first one, the rabbits have vacated.
Yes.
They've grown up and they've vacated.
That they did.
And now you have another rabbit hole?
Yes. And she widened this one out and flattened it out. I mean, it's like, it's the before it was like a crater and I could cover the depth of the crater with some sticks and a couple logs. And then eventually I put a chair on top of it to protect the innocent. This time she's standing over it and she has like cleared all the space. So it's like, it's barely an indentation in the ground right now because she's taken up so much. And I go, come on, you know, not again. And there's two baby bunnies that are there. I didn't get a good look last night because it was dark out. And I'm like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. Come on. No. But there were definitely two of them there. I went over. I just went straight and grabbed the chair.
I was about to say, did you build the shelter?
Yeah, a little bit. I just put the chair on top and then grabbed a log and put on either side of the chair to try to, you know, reduce the traffic of the dog's snout.
Uh-huh.
But, and then I'm like, I don't even care anymore. But there were all the grass that she had dug up. I grabbed some of the grass and started throwing it back in the shelter as well to give them something there. But
oh, man.
I'm leaving the house. So I didn't look at them this morning. I let the dog out. I'm like, I'm going to keep an eye on the dog from the house and
see
what she does.
So the dog won't eat them?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think so. Because I think she alerted me. Let me know, hey, look what I got out here. So then I decided, all right, I'm going to go with that. So when I let her out this morning again at like 7:30, I decided I'm going to take a look. I'm going to see what she does. I'm going to stay in the house. And what she does is what she's going to do. I'll see. And she digs her snout deep in there and pulls it out eventually. And I'm like, you don't have a bunny in your mouth, dude. And I don't think she didn't have a bunny in her mouth. So I'm like, okay, that could be good. But I also didn't go back and check the rabbit hole this morning myself. So I don't know if the bunnies are there or not, if the mama took them and relocated or what. They might still be there. I don't know. But the dog didn't spend a ton of time by there. But, dude, if I have two more tenants.
So I've been a homeowner for 30-ish years.
Mm-hmm.
This has never once happened.
Well.
And is there something inherent about your property that rabbits like to, you know, burrow and
I mean, rabbits are all, they're all over the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Can definitely see them all over the neighborhood. However, I've been living in this house for 13 years, I think, 13, 14 years, and never had a rabbit issue. Now it's two within 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand, and it's very frustrating because I don't want to keep having my yard be dug up the way it is because the dog digs up the yard like that once it goes for the rabbits. And I don't want the, I guess I technically I don't have the responsibility, but I'm taking on a responsibility that I probably shouldn't have to, but trying to protect them from what I mean, if I just let them expose, I mean, owls, I'm sure would take them in a minute, but when hey, man.
it's a natural,
right? All right. I hear you. I
food
hear
chain, you. Things happen.
So I'm leaving my house.
It's and wild in Gator's backyard, people.
As I'm backing up out of the garage, I look at my rearview mirror and I saw there was an adult bunny rabbit behind me, like in the grass. And I pulled up the car, rolled down the window, and I had a conversation with the rabbit.
I'm sure this was helpful.
I said, listen, man, I understand if you're going to build shelter for your babies, that's great. How about this? Can we compromise? Have at it in the front yard. I don't care what you do to the front yard. Make it your own playground there, man. You know, have 10 holes. You know, knock up 10 different bunny rabbits and you just, you know, father them all over in the front yard. I don't care. But not the backyard. The backyard's where I let the dog run loose, which you would think would be enough of a deterrent.
That they wouldn't want to do with the
right,
dog.
And yet it's not. So that's, I'm a little crabby today.
He's crabby because he has a minor inconvenience. He's Scott Anderson. I can't wait to see how this one turns out.
Yeah.
Did you ever find out, like, there were no rabbits missing the first time this happened? There were like four or five in there?
Yeah, there were four in the first time. I, you know, there were four one day and then there were zero another day. So gotcha. This one, I saw two last night. So if there's more than two, great. But if there's two, then I'll just assume there's only two.
All right. I did mention right out of the gate, I had a recurring nightmare. I have three recurring nightmares. One is I am late for a Michigan game. It's going to kick off and I can't get to the stadium. I can't get through traffic. Something is wrong and I can't get to the game.
Can't reroute.
No. And I'm completely screwed and all I do is panic. The other one is the falling elevator one I've had since I was a little kid. That's made me, for my life, I'm going to always feel a little sketch on elevators. But yes, I've had a falling elevator one. And then the one I had last night.
Did it come back last night?
No, not the falling elevator one.
No, I know what you're going to say.
You know the third one I'm going to say?
Yeah.
It's not the street sweeper one. Oh, I haven't had that since I was a kid. The street sweepers were chasing me when I was a kid. This is my adult version of the street sweeper one. We'll get to that today at 10:20. And we'll talk about the Tigers. Weird game last night. Truncated, weird, rain delayed. But a Tiger win nonetheless. Things are getting back to normal, are they? Starting to feel like it a little bit. We will get to the Tigers coming up next segment as well. Here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, is your garage door making some weird noises or maybe just working sluggishly? It's not as quick to respond as it used to be, or maybe it looked like it's off kilter a little bit. Here's what you do. Call the great folks over at Precision Garage Door Service, and they're going to come out. They're going to diagnose whatever problem you have with the garage doors. And then best of all, they're going to fix it right there in the spot. The expert technicians know exactly what they're doing. They're professional. They're awesome. In fact, in the truck, they've got all the tools of the trade necessary to get the job done right and get it done in a timely fashion. Give them a call today. 1-800-DOOR-REPAIR. Now, I know this first off, because I've used Precision a couple different times, once for repairs and just general service, and then I had to get new garage doors, and this is absolutely the place to call for new garage doors as well. Precision Garage Door Service. Schedule an appointment online at your convenience at precisiondoormi.com, or again, give them a call today at 1-800-DOOR-REPAIR. That's 1-800-DOOR-REPAIR.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket, open lines, 248-539-9797. Get to some Tiger stuff shortly. Bruno is in Roseville, and he's on 97.1. Hello, Bruno.
Bruno. Hey, yep, there you are.
Got you, Bruno.
Yeah, go ahead. Sure. Yeah.
I think it works on chipmunks. Yeah. Well, maybe that's because you use the spray. Okay. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, thanks.
Yep, appreciate it, Bruno. Thank you. 248-539-9797. All right, so the recurring dream now that I have, that I had again last night, is everybody is waiting for me, everybody's watching, and I can't hit the golf ball. I'm like standing, ready for my approach shot.
Yep.
And last night my clubs were too short. I was bent way over. I could not hit the ball. I would swing and miss. And I have this dream now like once a month that everybody is waiting and I'm like not making contact, or if I do, I'm dribbling inches. It's just this weird recurring dream that has replaced the getting chased by street sweepers dream, because I've kind of had the elevator one my whole life. I've had the running late for one, and now it's only Michigan games that I have that dream about. And now I can't hit the golf ball recurring dream. And it's an awful, awful feeling. And I'm filled with anxiety and I wake up and I'm like, what the hell? That one came back. It reared its ugly head last night.
I'm sorry, Doug.
Yeah, it's okay.
I'm sorry.
Life goes on, my friend. Life goes on.
No, it's like those stupid, like I've had dreams where you just have no motor skills. You can't throw a punch. If there's dreams that you can't fight or defend yourself. There's weird dreams I have that I don't have the coordination to run.
Yeah.
there's just strange, weird things happen in dreams. I understand.
Yeah. Well, that's one that I'm having way too much lately. But all right. So as I mentioned, kind of a weird game. Monday, progressive rate, raining sideways, 2-1, bunch of strikeouts. But get the job done, Tiger win in Chicago last night. Celebrate all wins. And the lead's back up to 6.5. The Tigers in the last 14 games, Gator, are 9-5, which is the fifth best record in baseball. Yeah, I don't think people feel, I'm guessing people don't feel like they're back. Because here's the one thing they did through the whole first half of the season. They were following up losing streaks with longer winning streaks. Like they'd lose 2 in a row, win 6 in a row. They'd lose 2 in a row, win 5 in a row. Mm-hmm. They'd lose 3 in a row, win 8 of 9. Like they would always follow up losing streaks with definitive, I'm just going to slam the door on panic kind of stretches. And now going 9-5 in their last 14 is probably a little bit more typical of how good teams bounce back from losing streaks. But hey man, they won the game. There were a bunch of frustrating empty at-bats, not moving runners over, where one of those single thingies would have gone a long way to scoring runs and breaking it wide open. But they won the game. Baseball is not a game of perfect. You have to overcome stuff. And the one thing they did at the beginning of the year that we talked about all through the beginning of the year was they aren't playing perfect and they're still winning games. Last night, they didn't really hit.
No, well, they didn't have the timely hit. I mean, they didn't have a ton of hits. They only 8 hits in the game and 10 base runners in the game because you had two walks to the mix. They just couldn't come up with that big hit when there were multiple runners on base. And then you had this strange situation where Andy Banias got thrown out stealing second base, and then he's like 5 feet from the bag. He puts the brakes on and starts to run back to first, which, if he had kept running, I think he had the base stolen. It was a high throw, but right. Regardless, it was kind of weird. But they couldn't get that breakthrough moment, which was very frustrating. And the problem is, you talk about non-productive outs. That's what happens when you have 13 strikeouts.
Yep.
But that's the issue with this team. They do strike out too much. We'd love to see the strikeout rate drop, the walk rate improve. But in the end, they got the big hit when they needed it from Spencer Torkelson in the top of the ninth inning, right before the skies opened up. And they got great pitching throughout the game, whether it was Chris Paddock, who gave them a lot, almost went six full innings, gave up just the one run in the home run. Tyler Holton was good. Finnegan was great. And Will Vest was great.
Yep.
So that's really all that matters. And what that was last night was revisiting plans that worked last year, the end of games with pitching chaos, when they were able to go 7-8-9 with three reliable arms, and what they were able to do earlier this year. And there it was, Holton, Finnegan, and Vest. Some kind of combination of those three. I think those are their three most reliable pitchers.
So, look, the trade deadline brought a lot of angst. Last night, two of their trade deadline acquisitions were decent. I mean, Paddock was decent. Finnegan had a clean inning again.
Paddock was good.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take that out of Paddock every time. He's had, well, his acquisition's decent. He's had two really good outings. He's had one bad outing. He has given up some hard hit. I don't know what his hard hit rate is. It feels like it's probably big. It's a large hard hit rate. But I got to tell you, I'm certainly encouraged by Kyle Finnegan, and everybody should be. He's been better than Bednar since the trade deadline. But Bednar settled down after a terrible first appearance for the Yankees. He has settled down. Do you see the latest on Eugenio Suarez?
No, but he's every time I look at a box score, he's gone 0-4 or 0-3, he's only had a few hits.
He's 4-38 with 15 strikeouts and one home run for Seattle.
Yeah.
And I'm going to sit here, I'm going to tell you, we kind of called that be careful what you wish for. We went through a Eugenio Suarez courtship, I think, here, wanting him. And then after a while, we kind of backed down. And the fear was something like this felt like it was in the cards for a player at his point in his career was really, really hitting the ball in a way that just didn't seem sustainable.
Well, there's definitely, I think we expected a correction. Now, I would also expect him to get hot again at some point. But
he probably will.
But the correction is, it's ongoing.
248-539-9797. Something happened last night in the game that has probably happened to you. We will touch on that at 11:05. Gators got a new favorite unheralded Tiger, and we will talk about that at 10:32 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, it's funny, Gator, because you put in your show sheet today, you put some interesting stuff, actually the last 2 days, and I want to circle back to one in particular later in the program because I was like, why did he put that in his show sheet? But you said this guy's become your new favorite unheralded Tiger. And I started thinking about it. And I'm trying to figure out who fits the category because I'm not sure there's a whole bunch to choose from anymore because the guys have gotten all-star recognition and then the guys who aren't heralded maybe it's somebody out of the bullpen. But anyway, your guy is?
It's Wensel Perez.
Yeah.
And he's, I'm still not sure what he really is. You know, it's funny. I'm watching the game last night and the beginning of the broadcast, they show the Tigers' defensive configuration. They show Javi Baez in center field and Wensel Perez in right field. And I just kind of chuckled to myself because those are two infielders playing outfield.
Right.
Wensel Perez was a second baseman, coming up through the Tigers system. And obviously Javi Baez is, an all-star gold glove winning shortstop. But here they are, representing the Tigers in the outfield. So I followed Perez all through his journey in the minors, and I was excited when he got a chance to play last year with the Tigers and played a lot more than I thought he would. I mean, he had 112 games last year, hit a very modest 242 with a 683 OPS. But he had some pop in a bat. Switch hitter, you like to see that. This year, he's played in 59 games, 200 at-bats, so almost half the at-bats he had last year. But his production is very good. And his OPS is now 807 for a guy who's not playing every day, but now he's starting to play every day and getting these opportunities. He does everything well. I don't know if he does anything great, but he does everything pretty well. Hitting from both sides of the plate.
I was about to say, can you tell me his OPS from each side of the plate?
I can. Versus left-handed hitters, his OPS.
Left-handed pitchers.
Yeah, sorry. Versus lefties, he is 957 OPS. Versus righties, it's 750, but still well above average.
That's above average. How many do you have? How many different spots in the order he's hit this year?
He has hit first, third, fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth. Different positions in the order.
In the order, and how many different positions he played in the field? Do they have that?
Left field, center field, right field, and DH. So okay, all outfield. He has not played in the infield.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean he's a. It feels like he's kind of two players in one, given that he has a switch hitter. He can play all the outfield positions. They can put him anywhere in the lineup, whether he's hitting top or bottom. And he just goes out there and does the job. I mean, I wouldn't call that catch he made last night spectacular. I would call it a pretty great route to get to that ball. And he traveled a long way to get to that ball. For people who saw it, there was a ball hit to right field that he had to run a long, long, long way to get to it and then made sort of a sliding catch. And he didn't have to reach out that far. But he played it like a seasoned outfielder.
Yeah, and I think because he's running towards a wall, who knows how far he has to go and where he's how much space he's going to end up when he stops sliding, but that may have played a role in the truncated slide. But he's making plays in the outfield, catching the ball, and we know that he had the three outfield assists within two games, whatever, the two in the one game,
yeah,
in the same inning. He just does everything well. I think he's a solid player. He's got a little bit of speed. He can run the bases. I just really, really like Wenzel Perez. And I always think about 5 years from now. Is this player going to be here 5 years from now? Because I'm not sure how many of the Tigers on this roster will actually be here in 5 years.
I know, right? It's hard to predict. Yeah. I suspect Colt Keith. If I had to pick one, I'd probably pick Colt Keith.
Well, he's signed to a contract, but it's a team-friendly contract, and he still hasn't really locked down an everyday position.
Nope.
But maybe, I would think Riley Green. I would think
Jackson Jobe.
Yeah, I think Spencer Torkelson, but maybe not because, you're talking about a position dime a dozen with first baseman that can and DH types that can hit for power. But, in 5 years is a long time, too.
It is. And so are you saying is Wenzel Perez going to be here in 5 years?
I don't think he is, but I'm enjoying him now.
He could be.
He could. He very well
feels
could
like,
be.
Because here's what the thing about Wenzel Perez it feels like he could be. If one of the prospects that they are counting on being here in 5 years fails, it feels like Perez could fill in at a number of positions. I mean, he hasn't played infield this year.
No. And he's 25 years old, so you're talking 5 years, be 30, right? So you start get to that age of 30, and then you start to really think about it. How many Tigers can you think of in the last 20 years that played more than 10 years with the team?
It's not a lot.
It's not a lot. No. Initially you might think, wait a minute. And then you start to go back on it. Maybe they didn't play 10 years. But nonetheless, I like what he does. I think he brings so much versatility to the team just from being a switch hitter alone. And he's competent at both sides of the plate.
So on radio, we, of course, have a great play-by-play guy in Dan Dickerson and then very good sidekicks that spend time with him as they've kind of rotated through the color analyst position, TV and radio. And we often play you Dan Dickerson highlights. We do want to play the home run last night that gave the Tigers the win in the
top of the ninth inning.
Spencer Torkelson's at the plate. And before the rains came, he steps up. And I mean, you talk about a call. Here was the call last night from Jason Benetti. Okay, there's a couple things about that. One is Tiger fans present,
yes,
which
they
is
were.
Cool. But two is he freaking called it. Yeah. I mean, the ball was like being released.
Right before he throws it, yeah.
Yeah. How about a torque bomb? And then a torque bomb.
Kaboom.
What a great call from Jason Benetti. That's like, I got to tell you, I think every guy does this. Should go deep here. Or, you know, you try and call the next play in football, or you call for the home run, or...
But you may call for it a lot.
Yeah, you do all the time. Like, yeah. You know what would be helpful here is a 4-6-3 double play.
I sure could use a double play.
Yeah, I sure could use a strikeout. You sure could use a 6-4-3 double play. Sure could use a torque bomb.
But then afterwards, Dirk said, he's like, you don't call these out that often.
Yeah.
And I think he's right. I don't think you hear Benetti call for it. I mean, I feel like you hear the color commentator would be more apt.
Yeah.
To call his shot, but Benetti called his shot. It's wild to hear the play-by-play guy.
Yeah.
And he was dead on. It was great. It was great.
Yeah.
Perfect timing and torque. It was one of those that looked like it was one of those hits that he could feel right away, like he hit it pure. The only question is, will it stay fair? Like, there's not a whole lot of effort in a swing, which is boom, gone.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, is he hits the ball and doesn't run. He leans. Like, he starts to try and, you know, the body language that just says, please, can I get this thing to, can I lean hard enough to get this thing to stay fair?
Right.
And I was expecting it to go foul because he didn't run.
Yeah.
Because I thought he knew that this was going to hook foul.
And then they get the view from behind home plate and like, oh, that could hit the foul pole. That could, yes.
Yeah. And then when it clanged off the foul pole, and in the meantime, I'm just like, freaking Benetti called it. That was awesome, and it was timely, and now the Tigers have won 9 of 14, which is nothing to necessarily write home about, but it is the fifth best record in baseball over the last 14 games. You can always find a stat that supports something, but
hey.
I mean, look, at a little better. They're getting a little bit better. Are they slowly returning to form? Are they settling into being something less than the best team in baseball? The record suggested that they might be the best team in baseball. Even if they're not the best team in baseball, they could still win the division. They could still win playoff series. Hell, they could still win a World Series if they can tap into that great version of themselves that we saw for much of this season. But certainly a moderately reassuring win last night. Not the prettiest of games. A lot of unproductive outs. Some hard hit balls off Chris Paddock, but they still got the job done. I mean, I guess if there's anything to write home about, and I don't know if anybody writes home about anything anymore, but if there's anything to write home about, it is the fact that the bullpen got the job done.
That they did. In a game where three of your maybe the most reliable hitters you've had in the lineup all season long,
yeah,
went a combined 0 for 12 last night. Gleyber Torres, Kerry Carpenter, and Zach McKinstry went 0 for 12 with a combined 8 strikeouts between them.
Some feedback coming in. Something happened in the Tiger game last night that I bet has happened to you. We'll get to that today at 11:05 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. Sarah Chevrolet in Sterling Heights. They're coming in hot with summer send-off savings right now. You can lease a new 2026 model year Equinox LT for just $359 per month for 36 months with zero money down. $359. Go now to 17.5 in Van Dyke in Sterling Heights. 87-SAY-SARAH or saysarah.com. Together, let's drive. With GM employee discount finance through Ally Financial, 10,000 miles per year plus taxes and fees with approved credit. Offer ends September 2nd. Was that Bobby Scales? It is his Jim Price impression. Yeah, that used to be a Jim Price thing. Was the demonic laugh from Jim Price? Really good win for that team last night. And you know, I mean, look, what this is a team that's doing what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to beat the bad teams, and they beat the bad teams. And it was funny because yesterday we asked people what it would take and, you know, what it would take to start feeling normal again. And you want a double digit lead, which I think is a huge ask, but I don't blame you. Somebody said they got to sweep the White Sox. Somebody said you got to beat the good teams. And I think they got White Sox, Twins, and then Astros maybe. So maybe they won't be really sold until an Astros series. Either way, hey, just win series. And that's the formula. And they've won their 9-5 in their last 14. And Torque's home run was absolutely huge last night. Feedback coming in to the Karsh and Anderson inbox. Paddock got hit fairly hard. His outs, fortunately, were at the right people. Yeah, I mean, I haven't looked up his hard hit rate since he's come to Detroit. And typically, over the course of time, that catches up to you. But let's remember that what we're asking of Chris Paddock is to probably just get wins between now and the end of the regular season. It seems as though he's quite probably a pitcher. Quite probably. I'm not sure he's going to be in the postseason mix. His job is to help the Tigers get to the postseason and to help the Tigers be a one or a two seed in the American League. If he turns into a postseason arm that they use, fine. But do you think it's a certainty he's part of the postseason, even if he pitches well the rest of the way? Or maybe pitches well isn't the thing. It's get results.
Yeah, I don't know what the rotation will look like, because the guy who's pitching tonight is pitched like Mung for a while. Mm-hmm. And he's got two really good starts mixed in, the Mung. But Jack Flaherty's been a problem this year.
I think his last outing might have been amongst his worst, as he got, what did we say, the total 4 swings and misses? He was fooling nobody. He was completely ineffective. Now, as far as Paddock's concerned, did he get hit hard? Yeah, he's gotten hit hard since he's come to Detroit. The results have been there in 2 of the 3 starts. I think that speaks to why there's going to be some up and down. Marlon Wald Lake. Gentlemen, we beat one of the worst teams in baseball by a single run yesterday. Am I the only one concerned who's looking at the bigger picture here? Isn't looking at the bigger picture that they've won 9 of 14? Is that the bigger picture? And I mean, you know, you can sit here and you can be critical. The White Sox have played better baseball than they were at the beginning of the year. But if you are not happy with a one-run win, I don't know what to tell you. They didn't hit the ball particularly well, but their starting pitcher got the job done, and the bullpen was good, and the defense was good. That'll win you a lot of games.
Yeah, well, I think people will look at the White Sox and think the White Sox are a big old pushover, and for most of the season they have been. But the second half of the season, and it's only 20-something games old or whatever it is, they've been better. It's like a 500 baseball team. It was actually well above 500 until they went into lost 6 of their last 7 games, or now it's 7 of their last 8 games. But before that, they started to put some things together. They've got some talent on the team. It's not a great roster, and you want the Tigers to just crush the White Sox.
Yeah, you'd like to win every game 9-0, yeah. But
starting off the series, winning it 2-1 with Chris Paddock on the hill, and he gives you a good performance, and the bullpen was great, I'll take it.
Yeah, I mean, the Tigers have won 3 of 4. I guess you could choose your snapshot in time, and if you want to zoom out and say, I'm zooming out as far as to say that's a terrible team and we only won by one run, and that's your interpretation after last night's game, you're entitled to it. I just think zoom out a little more. Are they getting more results of late? Are they playing better than they were during that terrible stretch? Next text. Playoffs are really weird. Give me some timely hitting when it matters and some power from our big guys, and we got a chance to win it all. Scooble could help just a little too. That's from another texter. And that's, look, you want certainties. You want things to happen in the regular season. Say, that's why they're going to win the World Series. I'm going to kick back and enjoy this, and I'm going to enjoy the postseason, and I got to start budgeting for all the shirts I'm going to buy, and I want to make sure that I have money for a season ticket package next year when they're the defending World Series champ, and where do I want to sit on the parade? That's how you want to feel during the regular season. But this person is right. It's about how you're playing when you get to that series. How you're playing when you get to, if you have to play in the best of three series, do you play well? Because you play well, you got a chance to win it, no matter who the matchup is. Or if your opponent craps the bed, you got a chance.
Well, it doesn't. I mean, think back to the 06 Tigers. They limped into the playoffs and then all of a sudden turned things around with the World Series.
They played well when they got there. Yeah. That's the point. That's exactly the point. It's not predictable. You just hope that you're playing your best baseball when the games mean the most. And it's not exciting analysis, but I think this person is more right than wrong. Didn't sign their text. Matt in Kalamazoo did, and he writes, I think this Tiger team is still in bad form. Last night they were playing against another team's bullpen and struggled to put together anything besides a random solo home run. This isn't sustainable against a Phillies team, a Yankee team, or an Astro team. Well, look, I mean, if they're not playing, there is a version of the Tigers that can beat the Phillies, the Astros, right, and the Yankees. They've done it this year.
We've seen the team do those things.
And so, yeah, I mean, if you want to choose the when they're playing their best or their worst, you can look for extreme results. But we have far more evidence that they're better than this than we do that they've still won some games. 248-539-9797.
Yankees have lost, what, 7 out of the last 10, including getting swept by Miami?
Yeah.
Do we want to, you know, follow the Yankees model? I mean, all teams are going to go through stuff. Teams do it.
Yep.
Yankees going through it right now.
Phillies are playing well right now. Teams like Milwaukee playing very well right now. Paul in Clinton Township. Hi, Paul.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
You know, I guess I've called, I've had the same thought. When the Tigers play well, they bring out fans that I'm not sure they understand 162-game baseball season. You know, I mean, all of the things that fans claim they're asking for. The Tigers have a winning record against teams above 500. They have a winning record against teams below 500. They're complaining about the fact that they won by one run against the White Sox. The White Sox beat the Blue Jays twice about a week or two ago. They beat the Guardians a few days ago. They beat the Phillies. If you go through their schedule, you'll see that they beat other good teams during the season. They're complaining about the guys that he picked up at the trading deadline. They have 3 wins from starting pitchers and 2 saves from their closer in the last 12 days since the deadline. I don't know if they just don't understand that there are ups and downs to every season, every hitter, except for maybe a couple. And even look at what Aaron Judge went through. I mean, he was hitting 400 for most of the year, and he's completely gone down. I just don't know if they understand what a baseball season is about. It's weird and it's frustrating because you listen, you read online, and you listen to the calls, and you would think that we were a last place baseball team.
In reality, we
have the second best record in the American League by a half a game, and we are top 5 in Major League Baseball. And like Doug pointed out, nine of the last 15 since we had our one terrible stretch of the year, and these other teams all did the same thing. They've all lost.
I think the Yankees, the Dodgers, Yankees, Dodgers, Tigers, and Astros all have, I believe, losing records since the All-Star game. Like they're all like 10-13. I think Tigers are 10-13, and other teams are like 11-12. And it just is what it is. You're going to go through it.
Baseball.
You
got to battle.
Exactly. It's baseball. Tram used to say it all the time. Hey, it's baseball. And it is. Now, hopefully the Tigers can, you know, turn this into a winning streak and make everybody feel better about it, including myself. But I'm not downtrodden about this, right? I mean, it got to that moment where it was a 5-game lead after Saturday night's loss, and now here they go. They're answering that with a couple of wins, and let's keep adding to that mix. Got 2 more against the White Sox. Take advantage of the teams that aren't good. Then you got 4 games at Minnesota. You know, Minnesota got the Tigers last time out, but that was, you know, last week. We'll see if the Tigers can answer that.
They are going to have a semi-rough stretch again because it is baseball. There is a month and a half left in this season. I mean, people need to simply try to enjoy what has so far been an outstanding baseball season for us. It's been a great year so far. I guess maybe I look at it differently. Maybe I don't look
well,
at
Paul,
it.
Paul, I think there's something to be said for an unusual first half of this season. It was so stress-free in the first half of the season that people got used to it or started to think that they were – The record did reflect that they were far superior to almost everybody in baseball, and that's not the case. They're really, really good. And where they've settled in here is a team that is going to be in the mix the rest of the way. I said it all along. I still think they're going to win the division. I mean, what was the stat they put up? They compared, because yesterday was the day they started the stretch 1 year ago. was 1 year ago that they got hot. 1 year ago yesterday, the August 11th, that they got hot and have the best record in the game since. 1 year ago yesterday, they had a 0.2% chance to make the playoffs. Do you know what it is today?
97%.
97.8%. So, there's still in a great spot. It feels like the warts have been magnified. The losing streak has done has really, really rattled some people. And Paul, you say people should enjoy it. You can do whatever you want with it. Your feelings are valid. They're yours. You can do whatever. You can treat this Tiger season however you want. Do I think there is a direct correlation between how much attention you pay to other teams in baseball and how panicked you are? A little bit. If you're paying attention, as you pointed out, the Yankees have what? 7 of 10?
The Yankees have lost a bunch. I mean, all the teams, like I said, the Yankees, the Houston Astros, and the Dodgers, all along with the Tigers, have losing records since the All-Star game.
Yep. 248-539-9797. They're still in a good spot, people. All right, something happened last night. I bet it's happened to you. We will get to that at 11:05. It happened in last night's Tiger game. It is 97-1, the ticket.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.